Rishus Rav Kohn Shlita. Since this is the first Sichas Musar of the Zman, and for many of the Talmidim here, we just learned today, 300 of the Talmidim, it is their very first Sichas Musar and their very first day in our yeshiva. I wanted to take the opportunity to use this slot to offer some unsolicited advice on how to grow as a Ben Torah and an Eved Hashem in our yeshiva. Of course, there are certain things that are common to every yeshiva. There are certain things that you always have to do, to spend a lot of time in the Beis Medrash, to work on coming on time, on enhancing your davening, finding the right chavrusas. That's true of every yeshiva. But every yeshiva also comes with its own challenges and its own opportunities. And our yeshiva may provide certain challenges and certain opportunities that are entirely unique to our yeshiva, and not at all common in other yeshivas. And it's in that context that I think a little bit of Eitzah, certainly for those starting their journey here, or even for those who've been here for a while, but maybe can reorient or refine some of the way that we think about our yeshiva, might be helpful. This yeshiva is certainly very different than many of the yeshivas that you were privileged to attend in Eretz Yisrael. One somewhat unique element of our yeshiva is that in all likelihood, the vast majority of the Talmidim will, for the rest of their lives, define themselves by our yeshiva. You will always be a YU guy who, when you're looking for a shidduch, is looking for right-wing YU, or you are right-wing YU. And you're going to daven in a shul with a YU rabbi, and you're going to spend your commute to work listening to YU Torah. And even if you don't identify with our yeshiva, in all likelihood, others will identify you with our yeshiva. Even if you run from identifying you with our yeshiva, in the back of the Beis Medrash, where you're a Rosh Yeshiva, they're going to be whispering, you know, he went to YU, right? Given that reality, and given that in a certain sense, the 3, 4, or more years that you spend in this space measures will, in many ways, define the rest of your lives, it is really important to make the most of your time here. So I would like to offer 5 suggestions. Not 5 Torah, not 5 Torah values. 5 pieces of advice, based on what I've seen in our most successful Talmidim over the years. I haven't been here that long, but I've been here forever in a certain sense. So first, let's talk about aiming for success. So it's important to know that your goal in yeshiva and in life is not survival. I should say not merely survival. Survival is important. Your goal is success. Your goal is hatzlacha. So often, Talmidim are so impressed by their own growth in yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael that they start to think of YU as a place where they hope to hold on to that which they gained in Eretz Yisrael, to maintain their level of ruchnius. Sometimes those phrases are even used by rebbeim that are guiding you. Let me tell you a secret. People who strive to stay the same will always fail. It helps to have a picture of success in your head, to have an aspiration, to know what success looks like, know what the most successful Talmidim would and wouldn't do. Moreno Rav Shechter Shlita said in his Hesped for Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal that in his time in yeshiva, people knew that Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal was very successful in learning, so they would try to imitate him. No one could duplicate him, but they would try to imitate him, because that's what you do. You look for success and you try to achieve it. Chazal derived from the Pasuk in Masech Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Vav and Beis. Chazal derived from the Pasuk L'man Tzvos HaRavas HaTzmeya Lo Yova Hashem Slovach Lo, that one should not be Machzir Aveda L'Nachri. Now the mechanics of that limud are that the Rava refers to the guy, the one who is satiated, Reish Vav Hey. The Tzmeya refers to the Jew who is thirsty. And therefore, the Pasuk is telling us that somebody who equates the two, the Rava and the Tzmeya, shows that he's not doing the mitzvahs because of Tzivoy Hashem, but because of his own sense of morality, and therefore, you're not supposed to be machzir aveda la'akum. Leaving out the ethics of the halacha and how it plays out in contemporary society and Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem and everything else, there's something remarkable in that Gemara. And that is how the Gemara defines a Jew. Of all the ways to distinguish between a Jew and a non-Jew, to be mavdil ben Yisrael la'amim, The Jew is classified, identified as a thirsty person. A thirsty person. The non-Jew is identified as a satisfied person. Someone who is satiated. Rav Pinkus explains the difference between the Rav and the Tzmei is exactly that. A Jew is thirsty because a Jew is never satisfied. A Jew doesn't live his life and work hard for decades so that one day he'll be able to live near a golf course and do nothing all day. A Jew lives his life and works hard so that he can meet the next challenge. Rav Pinkus relates that a hotel owner once told him that the non-Jewish guests at his hotel are so much easier to please than the Jewish guests. Jewish guests are always looking for something else, something better. In a very charitable interpretation of that phenomenon, Rav Pinkus explains that that's part of the core midah of a Jew, to always look for more, to always look for better, never to just try to maintain, try to just hold on to what I got in Eretz Yisrael. You know, they tell the story of the Israeli schnorrer who was coming to America to collect money, and in the airport there was a dollar bill on the floor. And the person was sitting next to him, and you just had made conversation with him, and he said, you came to collect money. There's a dollar bill on the floor. Why don't you pick up the dollar? He said, I haven't begun my work day yet. The Jew doesn't have working hours and non-working hours. How many times do we not pick up a sefer because it's not time for regular shiur yet? I got to the shiur room 3 minutes early, but it's not time for shiur yet. So what am I'm not even talking to anybody. I'm just sitting there doing nothing because it's not time yet. It's always time, because a Jew is always looking to grow. We're leaving diamonds everywhere because it's not time to work yet. We work our entire lives to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rest and relaxation, very important, because they re-energize us for greater service to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Eitzah number one is to understand that the goal is success, the goal is growth, the goal will always be growth, especially during your primary growth years, during this stage of your life. So if the topic of tonight is how to succeed in our yeshiva, we have now defined success a little bit, but now let's emphasize another part of that phrase, how to succeed in our yeshiva. Because it's very important to highlight that point, that you are in a yeshiva. You're in your yeshiva. It's sometimes hard to think of it that way, and not to start focusing on the university part, partially because it's just such a dynamic place. There's so much going on here. There are so many distractions, and by distractions I do not mean your secular classes. I think those can, certainly in today's day and age, more seamlessly be synthesized in your life in the hard work of Torah values and everything else, and it's not going to be a stira. The distractions aren't from your accounting class or your economics class or whatever else. Usually the distractions in our yeshiva come from silliness, come from magnifying small things into big things and allowing them to take over very precious real estate in your brain. It's so easy to get caught up in things that we shouldn't get caught up in. Every year since I've been here, including when I was a Talmud here, there is a hawk about something. And usually everyone is saying it's an existential threat to the yeshiva. The yeshiva will not exist again because I can't even remember what most of them were. The yeshiva is thriving. The yeshiva has survived far worse threats than whatever crisis you think is happening. Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva has survived professors who say controversial things, dozens of crazy commentator articles, strict COVID restrictions, which for sure were going to destroy us. All of these things, people would have you believe. That was the end of our yeshiva. You even remember the hawk last year about the third vaccine? How much time people spent fighting the fight? Time that could have been spent in the Beis Medrash. The amount of batala that goes on in the name of important causes is profoundly sad. Even if every cause is just, and even if your involvement is critical, which again, it is not, the yeshiva existed before you, will exist after you. The fact is that the guy who spends his time hawking about those things will not become a Talmud Chacham by doing so. You can have the best reasons not to be in the Beis Medrash. If you're not in the Beis Medrash, you will not become a Talmud Chacham. So make your decisions as if you are in yeshiva. As one of my children who attends our yeshiva said to me, the Kanaish one, I'm just joking, they're both Kanaim. But he said to me, once a quieter Kanaim, he said, when classes go remote, a college student goes home when classes go remote. But a ben yeshiva stays in his base medrash. I guarantee you there is no mass exodus from the base medrash of Neri Yisrael when Hopkins or University of Maryland goes remote. I heard a rumor, Asaris Yimei Tshuva, the classes go remote. Is our yeshiva going to empty out? Chas v'shalom and Asaris Yimei Tshuva? That's when the base medrash has to be alive. In yeshivos, Sundays are a regular full day. Even Fridays usually involve, at the very least, waking up while you're in yeshiva. You know what the biggest difference between staying in for Shabbos and going home for Shabbos is? It's not Shabbos. The biggest difference between staying in for Shabbos and going home for Shabbos is Friday. It's Motzai Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos you can sleep all day, even if you're here. But you're going to learn on Friday, because what else are you going to do in Washington Heights? Don't answer that. But you're going to learn on Friday. You're going to learn on Motzai Shabbos. And a third point. Let's talk about utilizing your Rebbe. Very often when I speak in different places and I refer to Moreinu Rabbeinu Agon, Rav Shechter Shlita, people come over to me and they say, you know, I never had a Rebbe. And they're saddened by it because they recognize that there's something missing in their lives. The Meiri in Pirkei Avos comments, Asei lecha rav uknei lecha chaver, that the Lashon of Asiya implies working much harder to make something happen. If you buy a suit, if you are Kona a suit, it means that it was there and all you had to do was walk into the store with the right amount of money and you were able to buy it. If you make a suit, it means you spent a lot of time cutting fabric, measuring, sewing, doing probably a lot of other things that I don't know. And a person has to work much, much harder at making a Rebbe. Asei lecha rav. It doesn't always happen naturally or organically like friends do, where if you happen to be sitting in a location in the Beis Medrash that's close enough to other like-minded guys, even if you're shy and even if you're not a friendly person, over the course of the year, it will just happen. You'll become friends with the guys around you. A person has a responsibility to make a concerted effort to develop a relationship with the Rebbe. And that might be a change from the way relationships with your Rebbeim were in the past, in high school or in Eretz Yisrael, but it yields the most meaningful and impactful results. The Gemara Maklos Daf Yud famously tells us, Talmud Shagala, Megalin Rabbo Imo, that when Talmud goes into Golos, his Rebbe has to go into Golos with him. Shneamar V'chai, Ovid Leimidi Ditavi Lechiyusa. When the Rambam formulates that halacha in the seventh parak of Hilchos Rotzeach, the Rambam writes, Talmud Shagala Li'ir Miklat, Megalin Rabbo Imo, Shneamar V'chai, Aseilo Kedei Sheyichya, V'chaye bale hachachma u'mevakshaya below Talmud kimisa chashuvim. A person genuinely interested in chachma cannot imagine life without his Rebbe, without the opportunity to learn more chachma from someone who's equipped to give it to him. For those who never had such a relationship, that's hard to understand. For those who have had such a relationship, it is obvious. So how do you have a Rebbe? So first of all, Shimush Tamidei Chachamim. Shimush Tamidei Chachamim, as Moreinu Rav Shechter has often told me and told us, does not mean that you pick up his dry cleaning for him. I remember I once picked up Rav Shechter from the airport a couple of years ago. He got in the car and he said, why are you picking me up? I said, Shimush Tamidei Chachamim. He said, no, the Talmidim should be picking me up. I said, excuse me. I'd like to think I'm a Talmid. He said, nah, this isn't what Shimush Tamid Chacham means. Shimush Tamid Chacham means that you talk and learning, you spend time looking at the Hanhagos and learning from the Hanhagos of the Rebbe. So hopefully during that car ride, I learned from the Hanhagos and we talked and learning a little bit. You should always have something to talk to your Rebbe about, whether it be about life or whether it be about learning. Have questions in your mind. If you're a Talmud of a Rebbe in this yeshiva and he's very busy and he has dozens or many dozens of Talmidim, and it's hard to get his attention, and you're sitting at a chasna one day, and he's sitting right next to you, or you daven marav, like happened to me the other night, daven marav at a chasna, marav is over, I turn to my right, and there's Rav Shechter standing all alone. If you don't have what to say at that moment, that's the biggest baltashchus in the world. Have something ready to talk to your Rebbe about. And be a presence. Be a presence in your Rebbe's life. Attend shiurim in person if he comes to visit your community where your parents live. Ask questions before shiur, during shiur, after shiur. Medrash Rabbah Bamidbar Yudbeis Ches explains, Lama Nimshala Ta'ora Kita'ena. Why is it that the Torah is like a ta'ena, a fig tree? The Torah is compared to so many things. Why a ta'ena? Notzer ta'ena yochal pirya. Why a ta'ena? The Medrash says, Sharov ha'ilanos, ha'zayis, ha'gefen, ha'tamara, nilkatim ka'achas. Most trees, you pick up all the fruit at one time. Va'ta'ena nilketas ma'at ma'at. The ta'ena comes piece by piece. V'kach ha'torah ha'yom lomid ma'at u'lemachar harbe. Lufishena mislamed. It doesn't happen in a year, it doesn't happen in 2 years. It's slow, it's a process, it takes time. The Medrash Shmuel in the first parak of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Tezayin says, you should learn from one primary Rebbe, because otherwise your mind will be scattered in different places. And he writes, Shekein Matzinu Shamur Chazal al Rabbi Yehuda, Shein Lismo Chal Shmuaso, Mishum Shemikulei Al Magamar. He was a Talmud of everybody. And because he was a Talmud of everybody in a certain way, he was a Talmud of nobody. And they couldn't rely on that which he said in the name of his Rebbein. Because was it this Rebbe or was it that Rebbe? And it's particularly important in our yeshiva, where there are so many great Rebbein. And the grass can always seem greener on the other side. It always seems, but maybe that shear is better for me. Maybe that shear I'll really enjoy. If you end up, after 3, 4, however many years you spend here, spending a semester or two in each shir, but keep hopping around, there's a good chance that you will not have a real Rebbe, and that would be a tragedy. A person has to be a makabel from a Rebbe. Appreciate his greatness, and that he sees what you don't see. In the Sefer Levavos, he writes, Kidei lekabel toeles min harav, tzorech shehatalmid yamin lo ma'od v'yismoch al devarav. You have to trust the Rebbe. V'zeo shomer v'stalik min ha-safek. What does it mean, v'stalik min ha-safek? Lo tisapek klal b'divrei rabcha, el smoch alav, kizula zolo yo'elucha. Don't doubt everything he says. Don't think that his judgment is off. Trust him. Rav Shimon, as Effie noted this morning, our Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Shimon Shkab, discusses in his famous Hakdama to Shari Yosher, Vishamati Dover Nau Miskabel, he says, Bishem Gisi Amenoch Rav Agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Rav Kalman, Abel Mitels, Bahadim Super Gemara Baba Kama, he tells about the Gemara Baba Kama in the Sugi of Zenen of Zelo Chaser, that Rav Chista asked a question of Rami Bar Chama, and he said, L'chi Teshamish Li, I'll give you the answer, but you need to be Meshamish Li, me first. So Shakal Sudra Karachle. So he took his turban and he helped him tie his turban. Debashkav Rishonim Atmiya, says Rav Shimon, it's such a strange thing. Why would he make him do that? If he asks you a question, give him the answer. You need someone to tie your turban, hire someone for that. And ask one of your kids to do it. What are you having him do? Bir harav anal she'inyanu, shebedover shetzaruch iyun v'yegia. When something requires effort, how do we react when we don't understand it at first blush? Talui ikra davar imam islamid ma'amin bima'ala samalamdo. If you're not quite getting the shir at first, it's possible that the chisaron is not in the massive Talmud Chacham who is saying the shir and has been doing so for 40 years. It's possible that it needs a little more amal v'yagia. It's possible that someone who's learnt the Masechta 20 times before may have a better picture than someone who's 4 hours into learning that Masechta. It's possible that if one trusts his Rebbe and learns that from the way he's looking at things, that you'll learn to look at things in a more mature way as well. Now, your Rebbe in our yeshiva will not try to make you into a miniature version of himself. He will try to help you become the best version of you. You know, the story goes that a Lubavitcher Chassid was once speaking with the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal about a mutual acquaintance who was growing in his ruchnius. And the man told the Lubavitcher Rebbe that maybe you should suggest to the man that he should grow a beard, which is usually like at a very early stage of growth in Chabad, to symbolize, why you're not so early, to symbolize and catalyze his growth. And the Chassid said, coming from you, Rebbe, there's no doubt that he's going to take it upon himself, if for no other reason than to please the Rebbe. So the Babich Rebbe wisely said, yes, but if he agreed, he'd be wearing my beard, not his. Part of a Rebbe, and what you're looking for in a Rebbe, is someone who's not trying to make mirror images of himself. He's trying to help you be you. So as we said, Gadol Shemusha Yosem Yilimuda doesn't mean picking up his dry cleaning. It means, though, seeing him in different contexts and trying to gain exposure in different contexts. The Gemara in Brachos Tav Samach Beis tells us Rabbi Akiva insisted on following Rabbi Yeshua even into the bathroom, even under his Rebbe's bed while his Rebbe was engaged in marital relations. Not something we suggest doing, but the idea that he tries to find him and see him in different contexts, to be able to learn from a Rebbe, was a role model, how to conduct oneself in those real and even sometimes uncomfortable situations. That's a very real idea. And that brings me to item number 4. When talking about having your Rebbe, I think it's also important to talk about a fourth point, and that is utilizing all of the Rebbeim. In his essay, The Source of Faith is Faith Itself, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal writes, without question, during my formative years, and to a lesser extent beyond, the source and bulwark of my commitment was not so much a cluster of abstract factors or arguments as key persons. Should I translate? Not so much the ideas, it was the people that made an impact, says Rav Lichtenstein. And then he goes on to explain who those people were. And who do you think, gosh, guys can't vote on this because you know probably, who do you think he identified as the greatest influence in his life and his personality and who he became? You would imagine it was his Rebbe Muvhak. It was Rav Soloveitchik, who was his father-in-law. And Rav Soloveitchik certainly had a profound impact on his life, as did Rav Huttner. But that's not who he identified. He identified Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And he writes, it wasn't so much what he said or did. I was simply enthralled by what he was. A remarkable fusion of mastery and simplicity, of vigor and humility, and above all, a pillar of, and here's my favorite phrase, radical integrity. His hold upon me and the ambition and commitment it generated have not waned to this day. That was not his Rebbe Muvhak. There is so much to learn from the Rebbeim around that you see each and every day who are not your Rebbe Muvhak. Don't be mevatel of the Rebbeim just because your Rebbe has a different way of learning, a different way of saying shir. No one in this space medrash should ever say a negative word about the way a Rebbe in our yeshiva learns Torah, teaches Torah. That's for the Rebbeim to deal with on their level if they have machlokas. That's not for us. But instead, take a look around. Realize that the Gadol Dar sits in the front of our Beis Medrash 7 days a week. And even if you're not in his shir, his mastery of Kol HaTorah Kula, his incredible humility is absolutely awe-inspiring. Rav Rosenzweig's Ahavas HaTorah, to the point that he doesn't recognize the clock. And the depths to which one can lumdicize all of Shas is awe-inspiring. It's breathtaking. The fact that probably the biggest posek in America sits on the second floor of our Beis Medrash all morning, and if you go and you ask him questions, Rav Willig will pretend like he has nothing better to do than to talk to you. What an opportunity that is. Rav Neuberger's absolute tzidkus, acting as if he's one of the guys in the Beis Medrash when he's one of the greatest Rabbanim in America. Rav Sobolevsky can explain the Ktzais and the Sivas so that a detailed machlokas and Hilchos Shtaros, which sounds like something that never comes up, he makes it sound like it's something that comes up every Sheni v'chamishi, and by the time he's done explaining it, this Shtender could understand it. These are uncommon gifts. Uncommon gifts. And it goes on and on. I'm not leaving anybody out on purpose, as I'm sure you know. And in general, don't be mevatel things in general. An attitude of bittel doesn't enhance your midos tovos. You know what, next time, instead of making a snide remark about the 5 core Torah values, maybe pay attention to what does the president mean by that? How does he identify and formulate the goals of our yeshiva? You know how, like, many of you guys admire the Kol Hillel Elyon guys? Because they're the strongest guys in learning? And they're the guys who seem to be matzliach? When I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, That was Rabbi Berman. He was the Kol Elyon guy who then became a Rebbe, who was one of the most matzliach guys in the yeshiva. And that's before 30 years of accomplishment that earned him to be the president of the yeshiva. Maybe he has something in mind. Maybe it's not just off the wall, it's not just, or on the wall. Maybe it's not, it's maybe there's something there. Don't be mevatel things. So you have to value all the rabbeim of the yeshiva, but you also can't respect people too much. Rav Shechter often points out, the psukim in Parshas Chukas describe the various travels of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, and they allude to various miracles that they experienced. And Chazal had a tradition, highlighted mostly in the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalid, that on a deeper level of interpretation, the psukim are actually alluding to Talmud Torah. And the pasuk that talks about waging wars is understood by the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed and Beis, to be implying that a person has to learn Torah as if he's engaged in battle. Melchamta shel Torah. Rav Shechter quotes from Soloveitchik that in Talmud Torah we must not be obedient. We must have the ability to criticize. We see how Rabbi Yochanan sorely missed his companion Reish Lakish, who constantly argued with him. To succeed in learning, a person has to have a healthy ego. He has to possess gadlus samochin. And when learning with somebody else, you have to act towards the other person as if he were your enemy in battle. In the pursuit of truth, of course. And therefore, if Shechter writes, a student must partially violate Kavod HaRav. A son learning with his father must partially violate Kibbutz Av. Only after the learning session is over, after the charusa is over, do you again, esvehev besufa, then you again show ahava. But a person can't be shy, lo abay shel namad. You have to ask questions, you have to challenge. Rav Shechter often points out that in the Chutam Meshulash, which is the official biography of the Chassam Sofer, the story is related that at his bar mitzvah, the Chassam Sofer set up pilpul, and it had a chiddush that he had developed, and he began by quoting an idea from the Sefer Kos Yeshuos, which was written by his own great-grandfather. And then he demonstrated why his great-grandfather got it wrong. And his father was so upset by the Chassam Sofer's arrogance and his disrespect for the great-grandfather at such a young age that he would publicly disagree with the great-grandfather, his father came up and slapped him in the face, in public. And Rav Nassan Adler, the Chassam Sofer's great Rebbe, was there, and he turned to the father and he said, "Why did you slap your son? He's right. His chiddush is correct." And Rav Nassan Adler then encouraged the 13-year-old Chassam Sofer to leave his father's home. Because if every time he's going to ask a kasha and a taisvus or a rambam, the father's going to slap him and say, "Who do you think you are?" He's going to stifle his originality and his ability to develop in learning. Now, I would caution, the Chassam Sofer was very unique and he was recognized as such from a very, very young age. I'm not encouraging 13-year-olds to run away from home. But the idea that a person has to be willing to challenge in learning. Sometimes, one of the unique, beautiful character traits of the Talmidim of our yeshiva is how edel we are. How sweet and respectful. But we have to make sure that that respect finds its rightful place. The respect should not be that I don't understand the shir, but I'm not going to ask about it anyway. Or that I have a kasha from another gemara, but Mestama Rebbe knows what he's talking about, so I'm not going to say. I'll just say, you know, this is the chiddush, and I'll write in my notes, but I'm a fool because there's a gemara elsewhere that says otherwise. The greatest chidushim come out, the greatest ha'aros, the greatest insights come out when you challenge, when you push a little further. You know that annoying guy in shir that always pushes a little further? Pay attention to what comes out from the Rebbe's mouth after that guy pushes. I never wanted to be that guy, but he always got the most out of the Rebbe. And this brings me to my final point, and that is one of utilizing chevra. Ultimately, the yeshiva is not about the rebbeim, the values, the beis medrash. The yeshiva is about the people, the guys who make up the yeshiva. I would bet more than 90% of you chose your yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael based more on that factor than any other. The pasuk in Parshas Re'eh starts out addressing us as individuals, Re'eh, in singular, but then says, in the plural, Lifneichem. Why the switch mid-sentence? You know, there are two mitzvahs in this week's parsha that can accurately be described as a genuine chiddush in the sense that they're entirely unique. They are a davar asoser as a klal. The mitzvah of tzedakah is entirely unique because b'chanunin abezos, you're allowed to test Hashem with tzedakah, Chazal tell us. Testing Hashem is not permissible anywhere else. Ha'omer selazul tzedakah al menashe yichi b'ni harei zeh tzedakah. The mitzvah of tzedakah has another element that isn't entirely unique, but is somewhat unique, and that is that there's a specific promised reward. And it's a counterintuitive one, too. Aser b'shvil shetes asher. You give tzedakah and you're promised wealth. That's surprising, it's counterintuitive. And there's another unique mitzvah that we read about in this week's parsha, and that is the parsha of Mesis. Someone who incites others to worship Avodah Zarah, in every other capital case, we're warned, v'hitzilu ha'eda, do whatever you can to help save the guy's life. When it comes to a mesis, he hasn't murdered anybody, he hasn't forced anybody to do something that they didn't want to do or volunteered to do on their own anyway. And the Torah warns in the strongest terms, lo sachma lo sachaselav. In fact, the Gemara indicates that even if we may have erroneously convicted the mesis, we're not machzir l'zchus. We don't seek the truth. So abhorrent is the mesis that a person who is under major suspicion of being a mesis is discarded as if his life has no value. What is the common theme between these mitzvos? And I think it might be that the Torah is emphasizing, beginning with the very first pasuk of the parasha, when it tells us we have bracha uklala in front of us and we get to choose which one we want, the Torah is emphasizing the value of connecting with other people. People believe that their overall happiness is determined by events that happen in life. But scientific research and really just thoughtful people can tell you that's not at all the case. People suffer terrible things in their life and somehow manage to live a happy life. People are sometimes given everything with no adversity, and somehow fail to live a happy life. Uvachart v'chaim, we get to choose good. We get to choose to be happy, but how? How do we choose to be happy? What do I do to remain happy no matter what happens in my life? And the Torah alludes to this by addressing each individual. Re'eh, you, the individual, you want to know how to find goodness? Realize that Anochi nosein lifneichem plural, that you are part of a larger group that is given these two options. There are many ways to inch us closer to happiness. Gratitude journals and positive thinking and exercise. Nothing is more helpful than being around other people who you enjoy being around. When we realize that it's lufneichem, that we're not alone, we'll much more easily find the bracha. And that may explain why tzedakah comes with special brachos that we don't find by other mitzvahs. Because if you show care for another person, it helps the ani to know that somebody cares about him, but it helps us even more to know that we've successfully helped another person, connected with another person. Our motivation matters when we pick up a lulav, when we put on tefillin. When giving tzedakah, as long as that connection is made, we have achieved the purpose. We're part of something bigger. We're part of a bigger people. And that will bring us bracha. Hashem promises aser b'shvil shetes asher, not necessarily because you're going to become actually wealthier when you give, but because you're going to feel wealthier when you give. Because what better use is there of your resources than to be able to help others? And maybe there's an additional meaning to the expression of the Gemara in Ksuvos, melach mamon chaser, which is understood to mean that the salt as a preservative is compared to tzedakah, in that tzedakah preserves our money. But maybe it's not referring to the preservative quality of salt, but to the flavor quality of salt. You can have a dish of food with all the nutrients you need, but you'll still find it bland. When you salt and you spice it, the food becomes delicious. When we give tzedakah, we may not obtain more money, but we'll begin to appreciate the brachos that we already have, and we'll find value in them. So what's so terrible about a mesis? Why are we so interested in facilitating the demise of a mesis? The mesis has taken the ability to form a group and used it for evil. There may be people doing terrible things, but so long as they're individuals working alone, they're not nearly as dangerous as people who formed a group identity. One of the greatest things about our yeshiva is the sound of the Beis Medrash that you heard here this morning and this evening. It's not just that it's a very big yeshiva, which helps to create this thunderous kol Torah. There's also a certain sense of urgency. when big masmidim such as yourselves are limited to only 2 sedarim a day, that you got to get it all in. And that contributes to the kol also. And that contributes to the atmosphere. You know, there's a great vart that I once heard, I think from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichrono Livracha, about how to relate to other people around you. He said, the pasuk says, "Lo sasa l'chapesa l'kol temuna asher b'shamayim imal v'asher ba'aretz mitachas." Which obviously relates to not making an image of Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Bernstein, Zichrono Livracha, suggested, "Lo sasa l'chapesa l'kol temuna." Don't make yourself into a pesa l'kol temuna. Don't make yourself into a spitting image of somebody else. Don't try to model yourself to be exactly what somebody else is. But rather, there are 2 bits of advice. Asher b'shamayim. When it comes to ruchniistic matters, when it comes to matters of Shemayim, mima'al. Look at those who have achieved more than you. Vasher ba'aretz. And when it comes to gashmiistic matters, when it comes to things that are artzius, well then mitachas. Look at those who have less than you. I once said that vart, and my brother came over to me, my brother's a kaltel litvak, and he came over to me afterwards. And he said, "You spoke great until you butchered that pasuk with that vart." I don't know, I thought it was a good vart. They say once Rav Gorelick said a cute vart at a Sheva Brachas or something. That's what people do at Sheva Brachas. They make up gematrias or whatever. And Rav Elchanan was there. And Rav Elchanan wouldn't talk to him for 2 weeks. So what is this, a joke? This is Torah. Okay, but it's a good vart. No? Sheva Shemai Vimal, Sheva Aretz Mitachas. Let me give you examples of how guys can impact each other. Guys, in a few weeks, may start watching football on Sundays after a 2-year hiatus. Which, of course, is a colossal waste of time. I promise you the Jets will not be any better this year or ever. Sunday afternoons are your biggest gift here in Yeshiva. Don't squander it. And there's just something about the draw of sports, and sports is good in many levels, but spending 7 hours watching football on Sunday is not good on any level. And most of the people in this room right now probably have that. There is like this tremendous taiva, right? It could be you haven't watched a full football game in 10 years. You walk by the television and there's a football game going, you got to stop. And I was once Rav Moshe Benovitz was speaking at a DRS Malav Malka, which took place at that time before the DRS building was built, in the SKA gym. There were no girls there at the time. It was Malav Malka. He was standing under the basketball hoop. And with his incredible insight into the mind of a teenager, he said, "It's going to be hard to grab your attention when every single boy in the room is thinking, I wonder if I could hit a shot from here." There's something about sports that draws us. A guy is likely to say, if even the B'nai Torah are watching the games, it will have a ripple effect on other people. Guys who make it to morning Seder on time every day, or on the Beis Medrash Friday mornings, that also has a ripple effect. Look at the guys next to you on your right and left. Learn their names. And understand that if you miss night Seder or come perpetually late due to human nature being what it is, they will likely start to do the same. On the other hand, if you're a model of Hasmada and Midos, they will likely follow suit as well, because such is the power of Chevra. So let's quickly review our 5 points for success. First, remember to keep striving for greater success. Never be satisfied with the growth that you already have. Second, remember that this is a yeshiva, and it's one of the most famous, storied, and greatest yeshivas in the world, so you should be running back to our Beis Medrash at every opportunity. Third, these are years to find a Rebbe and make him yours. He will be a guide for you for the rest of your life. Fourth, having a shita and a mahalech is good, but don't be mevatel other things, especially not other Talmidei Chachamim. There's greatness in every corner over here. Wherever you turn, open your eyes to it. You'll be grateful that you did. And finally, you are what makes this yeshiva. You are the greatest factor in the success of not only yourselves, but of all of your chaverim. And with that, I wish you tremendous hatzlacha in the Nuzman.